Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Who's going to pay my bills? Are people's opinion going to help pay my bills and put food on my table? No, they're not.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koi Gig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here with you to look ahead to Ireland's playoff games against Belgium this coming Friday in the Aviva and then Tuesday over in Leuven in Belgium. Belgium proving to be interesting opponents. They qualified for this year's Euros, and despite, if you were to look at the score lines off the top, you'd be like, no, they didn't do all that well, but those score lines weren't actually all that reflective of the play they put in, as Carla Ward has been talking about this week ahead of those games. Joining me to look ahead to that, we have Scarlett Heron, and as I'm going, since I have to try and find a new name other than Captain Karen Duggan this week, it's going to be Piedmont Young Player of the Year, Karen Duggan.
I actually much prefer that to Captain Karen, so if we could keep that and emphasis on the young for the foreseeable, that would be fantastic.
Okay, so there we go, everyone listening. We do have our
third and
one.
Future Young Player of the Year.
We have the first one that Karen has actually enjoyed thus far, so that's good. Guys, some interesting comments from Carla Ward this week ahead of this game. Obviously, we've been able to see a bit of Belgium because they had qualified for the Euros. And she was talking about watching them play. She seemed to have been over at the games, which is always helpful. When she was talking about them this week to the Irish media, she said they have got the ability to be very, very good, but they have flaws. They're one of the best teams in transition during the Euros. We have to be aware of their quality, but they're probably saying the same about us. What do we feel about that? She's already given much away, to be fair, but...
It's quite generic, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're good, but we can be good too, kind of a thing. They are good. And I have to say, in terms of transition, that's where they looked really, really dangerous at the Euros. You know, they did look good in spells. They look comfortable out of possession. But that is a bit like us, where we're quite comfortable out of possession against the big teams. It's when we come up against teams where we should have possession, and the teams that are quite close to us now in the likes of Belgium. I think it's going to be quite an interesting affair to see how each team eyes each other up, because you'd imagine Belgium actually will have more of the ball, and whether that suits them or not remains to be seen. But they have a lot of quality as well that we need to be respectful of. And I'm not looking forward to this match in a lot of ways, but I am looking forward to it because I think Belgium are like, they're kind of mad as a box of frogs, really, aren't they? In terms of their results and what they can do. Like, we saw them getting absolutely hammered by England and then 4 days later coming out and beating England in the Nations League. So you have to put respect on their name in that regard. Like, we played England in the Nations League and we know how that went. And that's us performing quite well. Whereas now we're kind of on this kind of a low ebb in terms of performances. I know we've won our last few games, but I know when we've been reflecting on this podcast, we haven't been excited. It's been a long time since we've been excited about the Irish team. You're hoping that we could bring that into this camp, but part of me just isn't excited. I don't know what that is. I don't know if you feel similar or why that is.
Like, there's, I think there's also a hangover.
Recent
results. Like, the fact that we can pull, like, the League A performances that we did, we can pull those out of the hat sometimes, but then we also don't qualify for a major tournament, or like make things harder for ourselves when it comes to qualifying for a major tournament.
Yeah, we did well in League A. Like, we're going to reflect on the France game when we had a completely different squad, and you know, they had nothing to play for and stuff like that. We clutched those moments, but I think the scar of just that initial Slovakia game in this Nations League kind of is the hangover. Now we beat, or sorry, Slovenia. Now we beat them in the more recent game 1-0. It's just been a bit stuttery, and we're looking for something to get excited by. And because the squad has remained pretty much the same, that's not going to be the cause of our excitement. We don't have Courtney. We're grand, you know, but I mean, but we're not excited, is what I would say in terms of like squad selection or anything we've heard in the lead up or anything that Carla has shown to show that she's here, she's in it, she's all over this Belgium game. She's spanning the length and breadth of the country and the leagues in England to make sure we've got the squad that we need to go and do this. It's just, it seems more of the same.
Yeah, Scarlett, Karen saying there about not getting excited. And I think part of that as well is when we do come up against those teams that we probably should beat, it's either a close, unconvincing performance or else we do have that result like the first ones in League B where we actually just lose. And it's hard to get rid of those ghosts.
Yeah, but I also think it's an opportunity to sort of put that to bed. Like the last big game we did have that mattered really was the Wales game, which was obviously in the Aviva, which is the last time we were there. So it is an opportunity. Like these are
So
big
I should
games
look
for
forward to
them.
some trauma on Friday evening.
Oh, definitely FC Central, but it's a chance to put that right. And I think if you get a good result on Friday, and take it over, like these are big games and this will help us massively in trying to qualify for the next World Cup. So it's not that these are sort of a dead rubber. So I think it's really important. And to be honest, like I am quite excited to get out and like I'm going to get home to go to the game. So I actually am. I can feel like a bit excited about what has changed, if anything has changed, because I know obviously we've had a few recent ebbs and flows and ups and downs. But I'm feeling positive about it. I don't know why, but
I was going to ask, you have to try and like explain that one to us. Like, is it the
I get it. It's been
unknown
a while since we've
potential?
had a match. Been a while
Yeah,
since we've had a
it's the
match
hope that
to.
kills you as well.
Especially in
It's the
Irish
old
football.
Irish thing of that. Yeah, exactly. And I think the
I
Irish
actually,
as well.
yeah, and I actually like the draw. I like that we're at home first. So if we win, we have something to defend. I think we do well in those circumstances. I think when we had the flip side in the Wales. And the hangover from that, the occasion overwhelmed us a little bit. But this is more akin to the Scotland, if we're looking at it just in terms of fixture wise and what can be done. I think we can, if we win, I think we can certainly go and defend a lead over in Belgium. I think sometimes we attack the game a little bit better without pressure away from the home fans. Particularly after the Avivas, it's always makes it a little bit bigger. I hope the ticket sales improve between now and then as well, because part of me is like, I love the hub of Tala. I love when it's packed and the buzz that that brings. But obviously, on the flip side, we have to want to expand the game and bring it to the Aviva and give more people the opportunity to put their bums on seats and support the girls, and that's where we want to get to. But it's a hard one to know if we would have been better to bring Belgium to a bit of a cauldron in Tala or not.
Yeah, there's about 15,000 tickets sold, I think, so far. Or at
It's
least
good, you
that
know,
was, yeah,
but.
which is good. But also, again, it's a Friday evening. You know, it's a bank holiday weekend as well. There's plenty of opportunities to
Get
get
the
out.
banquet started. Come on. Come on, guys.
Exactly. Have fun. I know the Irish Supporters Club have a couple of tables for them pubs around the Aviva for if people are looking for a bit of pre-match build-up as well. So plenty of opportunities to get involved and enjoy the atmosphere and the crack. And of course, I'm sure there's going to be great tunes from their name is escaping me
Belters
now. The
only.
Belters Only, that's it.
The Belters only.
Belters Only. I had Boys Only in my head and I was like, this is like some weird boy band that I
Yeah.
made up. Belters Only times the women's national team is like the weirdest combination I think I've ever heard of, but I actually do quite enjoy it. I think it's quite fun.
It's
Okay.
beyond my age demographic to get excited about
I just
that.
had a lot of people sending it to me being like, is this a parody? And I was like, no, I actually think it's legit, but
No.
I enjoy it. Let's look like specifically at what we could potentially see from the team on Friday, because we've mentioned it already. the whole nation is mourning over the fact that Courtney's not going to be there, missed one game in the last 42. When Carla Ward was talking about goalkeeper selection, she said Grace and Sophia are in good form. From a data point of view, we're talking about the top two goalkeepers in the WSL 2, aka the championship, because I hate the term WSL 2 right now. They're both playing, they're both performing, they're both very different. So that's a big question mark. And honestly, that's not been decided yet. So she's leaving it up to interpretation. Do we think it's going to be the classic Grace Maloney who has been number two? I mean, we have never just haven't seen Sophie in an Ireland jersey really at all.
Yeah, I'd like to know more about the differences between the two, because if I'm being perfectly honest, in terms of the games I've seen, I only know what Grace has done because obviously I played with her for a time, and now we're seeing that she's getting game time, and we kind of just look at the fact that she's getting game time and saying that's great. I don't really watch games beyond the WSL, and I hold my hands up to that. Given that Grace has deputised more recently and given the importance of the games, I would be surprised if it was anyone other than Grace, I guess. It's brilliant to hear that maybe it's going off form and going off training, and if they are quite close, that it's going to come down to stats and stuff like that, and they're putting signs behind it. But part of me would think that risk reward and eyes and attention and making decisions, is she's not exactly risk. She's quite risk adverse, I would say, and it would just make sense to put Grace in, given
her experience. I would think that. We do have the benefit here as well, maybe, hopefully, in that Belgium are also missing their first choice goalkeeper in Lisa Lichfus, and she was actually one of the top shot stavers in the entire Euros. She, like, her distribution and everything was brilliant for them during the Euros. So we do have that, and that it's almost evened out a little bit between the two of those. Scarlett, in terms of the rest of the squad, quite interesting. Denise is back, but she's only played 20 minutes since about mid-August. Kira is fit, according to Carla Ward, but wasn't selected to play for San Diego just before the international break. And Carla Ward admitted she's kind of frustrated with the lack of minutes she's had. Connolly and Ag are out with injuries. Whatchamacaller, Anna Patton is suspended for the first game. But then you also have the likes of Jamie Finn and Jessu coming back in after their ACL injuries. And obviously Jamie's had a bit more game time than Jess has had so far. But there's quite a few interesting selection options in there.
Yeah, no, there is. I think especially in midfield, like if you look across the team, there's sort of mixed minutes in the last few weeks for certain players. Like I think she'd probably go for Rusha in midfield, even though like Rusha hasn't played an awful lot. Obviously, she's just made the move to Palace. But I think Carla does favour her, and I think that experience in there will help. Obviously, Jamie Finn's been back and getting plenty of minutes for Sunderland as well. So she could be an option. I don't know if Carla will want to put her in straight away, because obviously she probably hasn't seen much of her, hasn't maybe spoken to her an awful lot just because she was going through her rehab. And then, yeah, as you said, Kira, I think she started 1-6 for, San Diego Waves. So that's not ideal for what would be probably our starting striker, and what probably still will be our starting striker. But I think when you look at maybe the options we have out wide, like Abby Larkin's been on fire for Crystal Palace, and then we've seen Emily Murphy as well get, what, 3 assists against Man City. So as I said, like there's different players in different positions at the minute in terms of game time and form. But I think we're looking at a decent place going forward. So I think that Carl obviously mentioned the transitional element of the game, and I think that it's also an area where we can hurt them. I was looking at even some of the clips from the Euros. Now, I know they're obviously playing brilliant opposition like Spain, and I'm not comparing us to Spain, but I think that we can get joy from sort of the gaps between their back five. They usually favour a 5-3-2 since their manager came in at the start of this year. So I think there will be wee gaps there if we can get the ball into Kira and then get runners off her. And then as well, I think set pieces is going to be huge. And it's this sort of game where you will miss Anna Patton massively because of her, obviously, aerial threat. And you'd ask the likes of Louise Quinn to come out of retirement for like 10 minutes just to go for a few corners. But I think that's obviously somewhere that we need to look at as well, because if they're going to catch us on transition and we're going to catch them on transition, I'd say there'll be a lot of set pieces involved in it. So definitely something to look at.
Well, is there an argument for bringing Caitlin Hayes back in? I know she hasn't been particularly favoured under Carla, but she can get her head on the end of a ball.
I would have her in my starting team, to be honest, but I don't know what you think.
Go on, Scarlett, give us your team there, and then we'll criticise, since you've done this work.
Yeah, I was just bored earlier on, so I was like, right, let's scribble out a little team here. So I have Grace Maloney in goal, and then we're going to go with the usual back four that we've kind of had. I don't know if she'll change, but I wouldn't like to see us go out with a back five. I think it's a bit too negative, and as well, we're missing Anna as one of our main centre backs. I don't know who'd play in that middle. So Katie, and then obviously Anna's out, so it's between Hayley Nolan and probably Jessie Stapleton. I haven't seen an awful lot of Hayley Nolan, and she hasn't really showed much in an Ireland shirt. She hasn't got much of an opportunity, even though she's playing a lot for Palace, so I'm really not sure where Carla's head's at there, so I'd assume it'll be Jessie. And then Caitlin Hayes, and then probably Heather Payne as your right back. And then in midfield, I think she'll play Rusha, Shiva, and then Denise. And then going forward, I think it'll be Abby Larkin and Emily Murphy on either wing, and then Kira up front.
Karen's
so that's kind of a mix of what I think will happen and what I want to happen. So it's kind of a different mixture of things.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds...
Karen disagrees.
No, I don't. I'm a fan of Aoife Mannion, just not as a right back. I'm a fan of Aoife Mannion as a centre back, and I don't think she's been given enough time there. And I think she has that kind of leadership, vocalness in her, that, and quite a calming presence. But again, in terms of having seen enough of her in that position, I'm not sure. But I think she can be quite a steadying influence. I think she's quite good on the ball, so she could be a shout for one of those central positions. But then I don't see her moving away from Jessie either. I agree with the rest. It's that midfield role, and I think because we know that that's been where the most rotation has been, because of injuries, because of not quite knowing, and you're looking at it, and Denise has had 20 minutes of action. Now Denise will come and she will run her legs off, but in terms of the description that Carla was putting on it during the week, that would be disastrous if we had to play without Denise. It's not only do her and Katie have to bear the burden of being the best players in the pitch, they have to bear the burden of being the biggest leaders as well, and shouldering a lot of the responsibility, and sometimes that has to give at some point. So I would love us, like Denise, to not have to do the box to box, because I would love if we had another box to box midfielder in there, and we don't. Do you know what I mean? I think that Shiva, really good at what she does. I think she's a good 10. Similarly, Jessie, I can't wait to see Jessie back in the pitch, but again, don't want to put her on into this pressurised cauldron. For me, before she got injured, she was the one who was really driving things for us outside of that traditional Katie, Denise, Courtney trio that we all look to. So I'm hoping that she's up to speed and she's ready to go and hit the ground running. It's just because of the rotation and not bringing in anyone new into that midfield, it's just that one spot that's not nailed down for me. So like you're talking about Rusha, and I think Rusha, in terms of experience, in terms of technique, in terms of just knowing how to manage a game, has it all. But in terms of game time, in terms of how much training is under her belt, she was unattached for quite a while. Again, are we putting too much responsibility on these players who have 50 minutes between them in the last however many weeks or months? It's my area of concern. I think we can always do well defensively, but at some point we need to go and win this match. And and therein lies the problem. If we go gung-ho, can we get back? And if we don't go gung-ho, at some point, do we bear the risk of just drawing pressure on ourselves? And I think the crux of that is that central midfield position, the balance between the 6 and the 8.
And do you think...
I don't have the answers.
Well, Karen, young player of the year, I'm about to ask you for some. But like, do you think, would you rather see them go gung-ho or like some version of it in the Aviva, or like go for the safety, go for the draw or something, and then try in Belgium? Or like, would you rather see that? And at least know then, I suppose, what you have to do in Leuven on Tuesday.
I don't know. I really don't. I'd like to see us at the start of this campaign. We looked far too, the gaps between midfield and defence, we didn't quite know how to bridge it. Changing from the 5-4 seemed to be a bigger transition than I would have expected it to be, given that's what most of these players play. But a lot of them cited it in their interviews, you know, we're going to something different, we're doing this, that and the other, and that surprised me a little bit. So it's just that midfield, and again, I'm just reiterating the same point, I'm not sure. I don't think we have a switch between going for it and not going for it. I think under Carla, we haven't bedded in. We haven't in terms of just sitting deep and absorbing pressure and then seeing how we are in the counter. We haven't done that. We've kind of tried a bit hard. It always feels like we're trying a little bit hard, and it's kind of a strain on us to play in the way that we're playing. So I'd be happy for us to kind of like shadow box this a little bit at the start and ease our way into the game. A draw is not the worst result. Going chasing it in Belgium is easier than having to chase it in the Aviva, emotion wise. Now the stakes aren't as high because there's always a chance of qualifying from League B, but in terms of just getting that momentum back, I think this is huge.
Scarlett, what about you? Which way would you like to see them play it?
Yeah, well, what I don't want to see is us to be 1-0 down, having not gone for it 70 minutes in, and then pile on the subs and then go for it in the last 20 minutes and the crowd gets up and all of a sudden it's all action. I think
we have been guilty of that in the past, of like leaving it too late to actually give ourselves an opportunity to win.
Do we have the players to just go for it though?
We don't need to just go for it, but be positive, like go direct. Like we have,
I think go direct is a very good option. I think that's what we should be doing. I don't think we should be trying to overplay. So yeah, I agree in going for it in that way, in a practical sense. Let's get
Well, there's no need. We don't need to be like tiki-taka football. Just get the ball out wide, simple stuff. What we're good at, get the ball into good areas and try test them early on. Because I think if we sit off, and they probably will have a good bit of possession, but if we do nick it, you know, get the ball into channels, chase it. Like, there's no dead balls here. Like, I think we do need to go after them. And if they want to have the possession, we'll see, like, that can suit us as well. Like, we're a team, as we've talked about, we're a team that can deal with not having the ball. And then once we do get it, we need to just make use of it.
Yeah, and I think we've seen from Emily Murphy and Kira Carusa, they're very, very willing runners. And they've got the brawn to hold it up and bring other players into play. So as much as maybe Kira hasn't had the game time, I think she's done that really well. And even when she was asked to do it, when she was in the 10 down in Cork, I was really impressed with her work rate. She really does give it her all. So I'm hoping that that doesn't play against her when it comes to team selection. It shouldn't, because we have that problem all over the pitch, really.
Just a word on someone else that's in the squad that won't be making it onto the pitch, and that's Kelly Brady, because she defeated Cairn in injustice for October Player of the Month. No, I'm
my
joking.
God be with the days where tokenism won out.
It'd be shocking, absolutely shocking.
Bring back for tokenism.
Our Young Player of the Year not to win such an extraordinary award. No, but we were just chatting about it a bit before we started recording, and how good she is and how she deserves the opportunity to get in with the squad, Karen.
Well, I just think maybe they could have named an extended squad, and like we're talking about giving her a taster, but like we didn't see enough of the blooding of new players, or players who've come from our league, or players who've graduated from the 19s throughout this campaign. We had a bad start, so we had that whole afraid to lose kind of feeling about it, so we've kind of stuck to the tried and tested, and that's fine. But when we only did one of those under 23 development squads, and that box was ticked, it was clear that that wasn't going to be the progression route for people. So the extended squad has to be the progression route. And someone like Kelly Brady, she's not quite just a WNL player, because it's down in Athlone. They are, some of those girls are training like professionals. They have the means and the resources to do so. And she's proven that she can score goals. And yes, it's on a different stage, but let's have a look. But maybe let's have a look at 4 or 5 and bring in some energy into that team and challenge the girls who are in there. Like, these, at least they'd be playing. They're off the back of a long season, but they will have
so many minutes under their belt and a new enthusiasm for being brought into that environment. Like, it's such a motivator. I'd love to see more of it, and I hope she's made a mark, and I hope that she's motivated to push herself into the next kind of sphere of that, because you saw at her goals at the weekend, she can score with her head. She is rapid, so she has all the attributes that you'd love to see in a striker, and we'd love to see her on that stage, because that's how we'll know if she can earn herself at that level. But in terms of impressing on the pitch, no one could have done it more this season than her. And we brought, again, Maria is in there training great. The midfield is the problem area. There's definitely a couple of others who could have been brought in and around the training camp as well, if that's what they were just doing, if they were just giving people the hunger and stuff. Obviously, on a bias level, I'm thinking of Jess Fitzgerald, like Scarlett, you know, or Ellen Dolan, who they've graduated from the 19s, you know, and they're looking at going abroad, or they have gone abroad, but give them another stepping stone, give them another motivator. And there's others in the league who I wouldn't be as familiar with, but look, it's great to see a couple go in, and it gives everyone in the league a motivation, be even more motivating if they were in the squad, or at least mooted to be in the extended squad. It was very much said from the offset that they're not. So, you know,
I think it would have been interesting just even from the perspective of that. There's not really a major debate about what the starting 11 is going to be. Obviously, there's a position or two in there, and we were talking about midfield as well, where there's actually maybe a few more open options. Scarlett, it would have been kind of interesting to just even see a couple more players put in there. And look, could have been said from the outset that, you know, they're in there training or whatever. But like, even just from the perspective of putting a bit of pressure on, you know, if you're first in, you're eager to impress, you're going to be like trying your hardest to push and maybe make Carla and Alan Mahan and the rest of the team in there think like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't agree more with that, and I can't like sort of be a big enough advocate for it. Like, as a young player, like it's really tough in the League of Ireland. Like, those are so many players with so much talent that have so much ambition, and obviously once you get past that 19 level, there's just nowhere really to go. And then, you know, it's tough when a lot of girls probably don't see a route forward, probably don't see something to strive towards. And like, that's like me personally as well. Like, when your 19s it finishes and that's kind of it, you're like, okay, well, sort of what's next? And we've talked about this so much, so I'm not going to get into it, but I think it would be really good.
Like, I don't want to walk away from this angry once again.
I know.
Like, Kathleen, I want a peaceful Wednesday evening.
I know. Sure, Vera, to be fair, brought in the home base squad, and I know that players probably weren't 100% on board with it at the time because of travel restriction, like people obviously having to travel up from and miss probably their club training, but like, at least it was something for the players at home and for young players to sort of show themselves to the first team manager. And to be fair, it was a consistent thing, and it wasn't perfect, but you know, nothing's going to be perfect at the start, so it's really disappointing there's not something like that, or else, yeah, bring in more players to sort of train with the team, and in future as well, like if there is future camps that are based in Dublin and Abbotstown, like it's a lot of players are based around that area, and if not, I would 100% bet my life on it that they'll travel up and find a place to stay. So yeah, as Karen said, like, young players all have that, they'll have that hunger and they'll have that sort of desire to try go in and impress, and as we're saying, like, to go in and push the players around them and it may add another bit of energy to the camp, which will definitely come in handy because, like, it's an experienced squad, but there's not an awful lot of young talent in there. Obviously, there is a few, like Abby Larkin and whatever, so, but I think there's always room to add more of that and add more energy to it.
Definitely.
I think that's something that struck me, actually, that I didn't really realise, like, the average age of this group is not young. Like, these are all players that should be coming into their peak. So in terms of experience and leadership and all that, that should be there. It's just that it hasn't flown through from the underage structures. We've kind of parachuted people in, so we don't expect them to show that leadership and that consistency as we would with Katie and Denise, who we've known since they were 16 going all the way up. But yeah, it's interesting that this is a team at the kind of the prime age. So now is the time for them to make their mark, and I really, really hope that we start that this weekend.
Yeah, I think the whole country would get behind you in saying that. As a final thought, Scarlett, score prediction just for Friday.
2-1 to Ireland.
Karen.
1-1. Positivity pants are on. 1-1 is good. 1-1 is good.
1-1 is good, yeah. My one. I don't have my positivity pants on. I'm going to say 1-0 Belgium. Just throw something in there. Why not? Might as well have someone a bit different.
Yeah, I said my positivity pants, not my honest pants on.
Yeah, that's fair. Karen, Scarlett, thank you very much. Karen, are you on the TV for this at all over the next...
I don't know. Not on Friday. No, maybe.
Potentially, you may see...
Karen. Space.
Yeah. Potentially, you may see Karen on your TVs.
Yes.
This isn't a Koi Gig event, but Off the Ball is doing a wrap up for the end of the LOI season in general, including a cup preview for the Men's Cup next Wednesday in the Sugar Club. And we've just confirmed today that Chloe Singleton and Kelly Sharon are going to be there representing Athlone. We're going to have a great chat with them, as well as reflecting on the season in general. So if you want to come along to that, tickets are at offtheball.com/events. And if you do have any questions that you have for the Athlone gals after what was a particularly epic year for them, please do get them in to me and I will make sure that they are featured on the night. There may even be some opportunities for a mic to be passed around if you do want your moment in the sunshine. But for now, Koi Gig on Off the Ball is sponsored by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. Stay tuned for lots more coverage about this game on Friday and the one on Tuesday across Off the Ball, including final thoughts from Carla Ward tomorrow after her press conference, and then all the reaction to what will hopefully be a good show. I will also be on Off the Ball Breakfast with Sue Ronan on Friday morning ahead of the game, in case there's any last minute injury updates or dramatic things that we need to discuss. But for now, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you all again very soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball, in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.